was a time when men didn't have it. And over in Europe, there was a, before our forefathers came here for religious freedom, among many other things, just a commoner, they didn't have access to Scripture. The Catholic Church chained their Bibles to their pulpits. They told their people that only the priest had the ability to read it and interpret it. And but having the Word of God as abundant as we do now, we can see where that is a big lie. God meant for His people to have His Word.
Amen.
He gave it to Israel, gave it to them. And they always were blessed with, for a house to have a copy of the Word of God was a blessing. Amen. And we're still blessed if we realize the worth of it. It sits on many coffee tables or, you know, many bookshelves. But the worth of the Word of God is well beyond comparison. Romans chapter number 12 this evening. Romans chapter number 12. I don't know how far I'm going to get. But I want to read the last verse, then go back to go back down. The Bible says in Romans 12:21, listen to what he said, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This this command, this is one of the things that God mentioned in His Word that helps you and I to know how to be an overcomer. I guess I was thinking about that as much as anything today. Things that cause us to overcome. Now, we can be overcomers, to really overcome in the Christian life. I don't want to have a Christian life where I'm constantly down, where I'm constantly under the weight, where I don't have the victory and the liberty that comes with a life that has overcome. And He tells us, be not overcome of evil. That, to me, that's very plain, that, that evil, He didn't say be not overcome with evil, but of evil. There's a difference in the way that you state that. We can be overcome with evil. But then to be overcome of evil, let's just get into this. If you look at the beginning of the chapter, he begins to talk to us about living in the perfect will of God. And he does that up through about verse number 8, and then from verse 9 down, he really starts breaking down things that help you and I to know how to overcome as we live. And how to overcome. And listen, this, we don't just overcome once. There are many areas of our life that we need to overcome things. As God's people, we're going to constantly be in a battle against sin and against worldliness. He tells us in the first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the very compassion of God, he's beseeching the believer that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Several things that he tells us right from the beginning. He's beseeching us by the mercies of God, the Creator, the Master. And this is like he's talking about the sacrifice, giving to the God that receives the sacrifice, that you present your bodies. It is up to us to present our bodies in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. We must overcome some things to present our bodies unto the Lord. That's what he said to do, that ye present your bodies. That ye present your bodies. This is a duty for us. A living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you think about that living sacrifice, the Jews constantly brought a dead sacrifice. I mean, it was, of course, alive up to a certain point, but before it went on the altar, its blood had already been taken from it. It had been killed. Christ was a living sacrifice. He ever liveth, but he was a living sacrifice. There on the cross, gave his self. That's the perfect picture of this, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, to be holy, to find out where the standard is and obtain it with the help of God. See, that's the standard, holy. You couldn't just bring anything unto the Heavenly Father. You know that. You Bible students know that. It had to be the very best, without blemish, without spot. Holy, acceptable unto God. See, God has things that he says, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. And there are a lot of people that want to try to bring themselves to the Lord as acceptable, but it's not acceptable. God's the one that says what is acceptable. Not me, not you. You know, it's not to, what he or she thinks. It's what God says, this is acceptable. This is acceptable. When he said that about the Lord, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He is acceptable. And he said, be not conformed to this world. Again, we have to find the standard. Where is the standard? The standard has to be a standard of holiness, a standard of unconforming to the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now this has to do with our yielding to the Spirit. He is the one that transforms us. I cannot transform myself. He is the one that transforms us. The renewing of your mind. Our mind, our spirit, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he tells us, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God absolutely despises conceit, high-mindedness, heady, pride, those types of things. He accepts humility and soberness. And are you listening to me? These things. there's a lot more in this, but let me. I want to get down to where we start. He starts talking about overcoming. He said in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. From verse 9 down through verse 21, you and I are going to be taught by the apostle Christian practice. Christian practice. Things that should come naturally, but yet we are taught them. It's good to be taught things, isn't it, as a Christian? It helps me to know how to be a better Christian. When I'm taught about God's mercies, taught about, you know, how to conform to Him, how to present myself to Him, what He deems as holy. So we're going to see that in our personal life and as our duty toward mankind and toward one another. He said, first, let love be without dissimulation. Let love. What love? What love is he talking about? Well, your love. Your love. Christian love. Let your love be without dissimulation. You know, the hypocrisy. You know, bless your heart. That's the way they do it in the mouth. Bless your heart. You leave, they're like, I can't stand that person. So he right out of the gate starts with our love. Why? If our love is not right, nothing's going to be right. Love is the foundation of our Christianity, of who we are. It's the very signal that we're saved. You love the brethren. You have a natural love. It's not something I have. God commands me, so I have to. Well, that's right. God does command us, and we do have to. But to have more love than just God makes me. God has to make me to do it. I only love you because God makes me love you. Yeah, I mean, that's not the kind of love God's talking about. He's talking about His love. Let love be without dissimulation. And He says to abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Abhorring the evil and cleaving to the good. Abhorring the evil and cleaving the good. You're going to see things down through this text that are just like this. It's almost like it's saying the same thing, but it's saying something different at the same time. Abhorring the evil, well, if you do that, you'll cleave to the good. And so, He's telling us how to set that standard, to endeavor to let our love be without dissimulation. Here's the standard. Abhor evil. Don't love evil. Cleave to that which is love good. Cleave to the good. So we have a standard. Psalms 97:10 says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That's a statement, and it's a standard as well. He's telling us. People that love the Lord hate evil. You really love the Lord, you're going to hate evil. You're not going to love evil. You're not. No wonder the apostle said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He said, you know, you can't love the, if you love the world, you're an enemy to God. We love God, we're going to hate the world. I'm not talking about hating sinners. You know what I'm talking about. So we're abhorring evil and cleaving to the good. Here the standard begins. Romans 12:10, he says this, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." I want you to get this, watch this. Be kindly affectioned. Be kindly affectioned. He's telling us how affectionate our brotherly love is going to be. It is brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And that word kindly, I mean, it's stressed from that word kind, as in stock or family. That's why he says the brethren. In that sense, he's using it. Over and over, he tells us again in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, he said, "Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Hebrews 13:1, "Let brotherly love
continue. Brotherly love, not just love, brotherly love. He said in 1 Peter 3, love as brethren. Love as brethren. In 2 Peter 1, he mentioned again about brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. So when he said, be kindly affectioned, that's family love. Brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned. It has the special reference to family affection. Not just kindness. It roots from kind, again, or the stock, or family. It's the kind of love that he tells us that we have, that he wants us to have, especially if we're going to overcome. Do you know where a lot of defeat comes from? Brother against brother. Division in the church, no unity, hurt feelings. If there's one thing that should continue above everything, it is that family love of God's people, that brotherly love. It's different. When he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. When he says in honor, it, literally in the point of the honor, he's saying the honor due from each one of us to all of our brethren. Honor. I got this from a writer. He says, spiritual religion is in its proper nature the noblest school of courtesy. Habituating the man to the refining power of the divine presence and constantly rebuking the self-regard, which is the essence of discourtesy. In other words, what he was saying about this in honor, preferring one another, he's talking about what we have in us, that honor that we give to one another is a noble courtesy. And it is something that you and I become accustomed to by God's grace refining us. That we honor one another. See, if we can honor one another, we can love one another. And he's telling us to honor one another. People have a hard time, it seems like in our day, looking down upon others. We're constantly seeing the fault instead of giving honor. And what it is we're constantly paying attention to self-regard. You know, I like myself better. I'm going to take care of me. I think more highly of myself than I do of you. I think more highly of myself than I do of you. Now listen, it's not just saying these words. Oh no, I don't. Listen, it has to be real. You have to really feel within your heart, no, I don't think better of myself than I do my brother. I honor my brothers and sisters in Christ. I honor them. Truly giving honor. We are abhorring the evil and cleaving to the good when we give honor. Because the flesh, what the flesh wants to do is laugh at somebody or put somebody down. It doesn't want to give honor to them. Not in any shape or form. Well, preacher, what if they've not done anything to deserve honor? It may be because nobody's ever even given them any honor that they feel like, what's the use? What's the use of trying? Nobody ever sees the love that I try to give. Which I know some of that can become childish. We need to concentrate on what we're supposed to be doing. Not on whether everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. But that's what we do. Well, I'm not. They did this. I'm not gonna afford them anything. No, we're supposed to be a Christian 24/7, regardless of what everybody else around us is doing. That's how you overcome. That's how you live for Christ. And whether everybody else is loving the world or not, you abhor it. Don't let people change your mind on what God has settled you on. In Romans 12:11, here, look how he goes from, like I said, these are different areas of our life that he begins to deal with. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Not slothful in business. Listen, there's a lot of believers that, can be pretty good about a lot of things, but when it comes to their business practice, and you think, what in the world are they thinking of? I mean, pay your bills. Amen. Don't be slothful. I can remember as a young believer, I got behind. You know what most people do when they're behind? They avoid their creditor. You know what I did? I went right to my creditor. And I told him what had happened in my life. And I told them that with everything that was within me, they were going to get what they were owed. That I was doing my best. And people will think a lot more of you. A lot more of your character. Don't be slothful in business. I mean, get it done. If it needs to be done, get it done. Fervent in spirit. See, and that right there is almost, again, one of them things. Hey, because if you're fervent in spirit, you won't be slothful in business. Serving the Lord. So he tells us how to be better. Our earnest diligence, not being slothful in business, but being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's not slothful. He exhorts us to, being thorough. If you're not slothful. That means you are thorough in what you're doing. Thorough. Slothful, I mean, you just, you know, some here and some there and some not and some yeah. But if you're thorough, you go over everything. You take care of everything. Fervent in spirit. He tells us how to be better with this fervent. Our intense feelings is what that is. Like fervent prayer, that's intense prayer. Intense prayer that you and I have, you know, feeling and emotion behind. Well, here he's telling us to be fervent in spirit. So as regards to the spirit, I believe he's talking about our human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Fervent in spirit. So if you and I are going to be, you know, intense, fervent in our spirit, that has to do with the very thoughts that we have and the energy at which we do what we do. Not to be slothful, you know. Years ago, when a long time ago, when I was a kid, we used to watch Sesame Street before they got weird. And they had this guy on there. Nobody knew that he was Mr. Snuffleupagus. He just come across through the hallways just like this. And he was always down and always slow and always dragging. And God don't want us to be that way. So he tells us to be fervent in spirit. This reference to man's spirit, renewed. And, you know, God's grace puts life in us, full of life. Amen? In our spirit. Fervent. I just put it that way. To have life in your spirit. Amen? To have fire. There we go. Fire in our spirit. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord, he tells us. Being on fire, serving the Lord. Not just, you know, serving in an occasion, but serving the Lord. I mean, every opportunity that God gives us, you and I, should exert to do it, to serve. Here he is talking about the Lord as a master and you and I as bond slaves to serve him. Amen? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, the Master. You and I are bond slaves to the Master. How we serve Him. The Spirit in which we serve Him. When you have that, you overcome. You can overcome. Because I tell you what, you go with your head down all the time and just drooped all the time and just bogged down all the time, that's depressing. I mean, that's enough to burn anybody's lamp just about completely out. Amen? God wants us to live and serve with some excitement. Some excitement. Some stirring in us. That's what, you know, Peter, when he talked, and I think probably even Paul, wanted to stir us up. Stir up our minds and our spirits. Amen. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, he said for us to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 9, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. And he said that we could rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoicing in hope. The Lord's coming. Brother Dave, you sent that text out to all the men about the coming of the Lord. That's something for us to rejoice over. Rejoicing in hope. That this ain't it. If they were only hoping in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. Tell people, this ain't it. This ain't all there is. We can rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. To have a holy gladness, amen. Patient. He wants us to be, better in respect of hope, to be better in respect to the tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Enduring. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the great tribulation. He's talking about trials and struggles here. That if any man live for Christ, you're going to have trials. But you can learn how to overcome. You can learn how to endure. How to be patient in tribulation. How to endure the tribulations. He said, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Paul said in Romans 8:35, he is listing all those things. What shall separate us from the love of God? He went down the list. And then he said, shall tribulation? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? This, that, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. So you and I are going to find in some form tribulations in this world. But we can glory. Continuing. Instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. How many times has he told us to continue in prayer? Pray without ceasing. You remember in Acts 12, the church was gathered together praying. And in Matthew 6, he told us, when ye pray, singular pray. Enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door. So he tells us how to pray. Continuing instant in prayer. Group prayer. Private prayer. Continuing. Continuing. To be diligent. real. Amen. Everything that he's giving us down through here, it's going to cause you and I to be real, if nothing else. If we do these things, we're going to be genuine. I mean, you can try to put on a good show, but it just don't work. Don't work. Or you can live this with the Lord, and your life is transformed. My life is transformed completely. Our spirit, our mind, everything about us, are you listening to me, is transformed. We overcome. And we have real joy in hope and patience in tribulation instead of whining. Romans 12, 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality, distributing, communicating, sharing your own with others. This was one of the first instincts of the early church, to give to others, to give to help others, to give what I've got to help the brethren. That's why sometimes I don't preach on it a lot, but when I do preach on giving, I try to be as fervent about it as I can. Listen. I think it's another one of those signals of Christianity. I mean, Christ gave himself, the great giver. He tells us, you know, in 1 Corinthians, about concerning the collection for the saints. He said in Galatians 2, remember the poor. In Hebrews 13, he said, remember to do good and to communicate, and forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What sacrifices? The sacrifices of giving what I have to help someone else. To give in the church. Amen. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. The need, the very need, that which is needful, necessary. Not just, you know, to every whim. But he used that word necessity. And he said given to hospitality. That word given is almost identical to that being overcome of evil. We are given to something. We are taken by it. It's something in me. As a pastor has to be given to hospitality. He wants to give, to help people. I remember an old pastor one time, he heard about this, some little old church. I mean, they didn't ever do anything for anybody. It didn't help nobody in the community. They didn't do anything with missions. And they said, they've got $250,000 in the bank. He said, let me pastor there. I can get rid of that money. I can put it to use. And everybody knew what he meant. There's a lot of needs that can be met. Real needs. Real needs. Distributing to the necessity. Giving to hospitality. He said in Hebrews 13, literally, forget not hospitality. Forget not to be hospitable. That's what he was saying in Hebrews 13, 2. Don't you forget to be hospitable. I mean, you can't get away from it. He commands us not to forget about it. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh boy. According to our Lord's own words. In Luke 6, you know, Luke 23 as well. Let's just read over. I can't get all this tonight. I know I can't. I'll read this to you and then we'll close. Luke 23 and 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. Here they were casting lots on our Lord's raiment, and he was forgiving them, praying. And then there was no hypocrisy there. We know that. I mean, here is our Lord. And he sincerely wanted the Father to forgive them. That's who he came for. Look how, I mean, how vile we were. I mean, we might as well say, I was sitting there gambling. I was one of them screaming, crucify. Our sins nailed him to the cross. We were enemies, alienated. Thank God for our Lord's example. It's too much more. It's just too much. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Well, you talk about reciprocation. If we were all of the same mind toward one another, giving honor to one another, loving one another with that family love, that brotherly kindness, the strength of the church lies in these precepts. If we don't do these things, we will be overcome of evil. That's why he gave these, and then he said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are the good precepts of the church to overcome evil. Maybe we can get back to them, Lord willing. All right. Thank you for being here. Let's all stand.